Alrighty. Welcome to the Bethel Township Board of Trustees, September 24th, 2024, workshop meeting. At 7 p.m., call to order. Roll call, please.
Fire Chief Cahill.
Here.
Fiscal Officer Ross, here. Trustee Dick.
Here.
Trustee Van Haren.
Yes.
And Trustee Reese.
Present. Okay, next up we have public comments on items on the agenda.
I don't have anything.
Okay. On to discussion items then. Under administration and zoning, we have a form resolution and form notice for ordering the abatement of a nuisance on a property. Kemma, do you want to talk about that?
This is the article that, or the resolution that I had mentioned a couple meetings ago. I was working on with the district attorney's office, Chris there. He finally got back in from the death of his dad. He put it together and then he sent it over to us. What this is going to do is allow us to move forward on places like the Ross Road, that is a partially burnt out house that's been sitting there for over a year, that's actually an arson, but it's still, nobody's taken responsibility for cleaning it up. So that would allow us to take some responsibility, get it cleaned up, and then put it back on the property taxes at that point so that we can get rid of the eyesore. And it's a pretty straightforward resolution. He wants us to review it. And then if we pass it, we send it back to them for their review. And you guys have had it so for a couple days. If you've got questions on it, it would be nice, you know, to try to have him address those before we vote on it on Tuesday directly.
So can you, you know, so he's got all this stuff highlighted.
Yep.
That we need to adjust.
Right.
So can you adjust it for the properties
yes.
that you want to do on Tuesday and then get them to me to put on the agenda?
Yes, I can
okay.
do that.
And then the notice, can we do it Tuesday or do we have to send a notice?
He didn't say that we couldn't do it on Tuesday. I can send him an email in the morning and ask him if it's okay to vote on it on Tuesday. He sent it straight over and the way it was explained to me was that we have to approve it and then send it back for him to look over if we've made any changes to it. And then
so the notice, the form that he sent for the notice doesn't have a time frame in it. It
mm-hmm.
just says
nope.
send it certified mail.
Yes. It's a 30-day window is the way it was explained to me when we were discussing it, before he actually put it in writing. It's a 30-day window. It's a separate area of the legal department at the county. It's a different attorney, and they were working together with putting this resolution
okay.
together. I have not met this other attorney, but when Chris came and took the tour of the properties that we had in question, the ones that have been kind of just an eyesore in the community for a very long time that we keep sending notices out on, which never goes anywhere, he suggested doing this. And what this is a 30-day option for us to then take other recourse instead of sending one letter after another letter after another letter and getting nowhere with that. So, you know, it's up to you all whether or not it's I guess collectively up to us whether or not we want to pursue this avenue versus what we've been doing for the last
several
years.
So what we have been doing is sending letters and then that eventually gets turned over to the county and the county usually turns it down. So how is this different?
Well, the county wouldn't turn it down this time because it's going to a different area. This is having it declared as a nuisance, and what we are doing, or what we've done in the past, is we've sent out, since I've been here, I don't know what you all did before I got here, but since I've been here, we send out one letter, which goes regular mail, and in 14 days, if they haven't complied, we send out another certified letter,
mm-hmm.
And if they still haven't complied, then we send a third letter out telling them that we are going to send this
mm-hmm.
over to Chris, the attorney.
Right.
And at that point, it's up to them whether or not they want to pursue it to some degree is what we've been doing. But the problem that we've ran into is that a lot of these property owners will fix up part of it, but not do all of it. Or they do just enough to get the second letter stopped, and then it goes back in 6 months or 30 days or 90 days, whatever it is, to the same situation. And Ross Road's deal, we've sent I don't know how many letters to them, and nothing's happened. The boat storage facility, we've sent I don't know how many letters to them, and they don't even pick up their certified mail anymore. So the sign deal on 201, I was able to get that rectified myself by talking directly to the owner of that facility. And they did remove those signs, but that was a big eyesore as well. You know, we've got the 2-3 properties here on 40, which are quarter properties. I mean, one down here, it's gone from the house to the outside of the building at the other end of, right by Scarf. And there's numerous complaints sent to them. And again, nothing's been done. So he's not picking up his certified mail either. So again, you run into the problem here when they don't pick up their certified mail, you can't really send it over to.
So I understand all that, but what when you say this is going to turn over to the courts, what is the court going to do?
Well, so the difference from this, I thought, was that we can have work done and bill it to them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what's going to happen. So that's the difference. We put it on their taxes at that point. We clean up the problem, and then our costs go on their property taxes.
So,
and we get in civil court for that.
Let's just play this out. Somebody has a bunch of junk on their front yard. You're going to come in with a backhoe or somebody with a dumpster?
In the case of what's down here,
I'm just theoretically speaking. Like, just say the property across the street had, you know, just too much junk, and they hadn't responded. I feel a little uneasy about going onto somebody's property and ditching their stuff. I'm all for cleaning it up, but I don't know.
Well, again, it's not us saying that's what has to be done. The courts will say what has to be done, because when we've passed this resolution, it still goes to the attorney for the county. The county then takes it into civil court. The judge then says we have the right to do whatever it takes to clean it up and put it on their taxes.
I got that point.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. So how is it, as a township, do we feel comfortable going on somebody's property and cleaning up their stuff? I mean, it's one thing if it's an abandoned house, and I get it. We have had probably the same 10 problem properties over the last 15, 20 years, and they all clean up a little bit, and then it usually goes back downhill. I just don't know at what point, and then how much is cleaned up, and then do we run the risk of taking somebody's great grandma's heirloom that was stored in the front yard and dumping it. I don't know.
Well, the courts are going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do, and that's all going to be dictated by what visual they have in terms of the property itself. I mean, it's not something that is going to in the past, when in areas where this has been done, it's my understanding that this all goes before a judge. The judge makes the determination of what areas have to be cleaned and rectified. And then once that's done, the cost that you incurred for doing it is put on the person's taxes or the property taxes of the property that you're cleaning up. And you're not making a decision arbitrarily on whether or not it's great-grandma's heirloom. You're making a decision on the safety and habitability of what the community needs. And a lot of these properties, it is safety and it is habitability. It's the safety and welfare of the surrounding properties as well. The one here on 40 is so bad that, I mean, you drive past it and it's garbage and so forth on the front porch that is stacked 6 feet high. So
I don't disagree with you that they are bad and they need improvement. I'm just questioning at what point do we feel like it is our right to clean that up, and we don't want to trespass on anybody's property.
But we're not trespassing. The courts have given us permission to do that legally. They've said, the court will say, Bethel Township has the right to remedy the situation. And when the court says that, we are not trespassing. We are not throwing away anybody's property that is of value. But
well,
what are we doing
with it then?
We are getting rid of the eyesore that the court has said is an eyesore and we have the responsibility to do. We're not doing anything that the court is not saying we cannot do. And if that's your reason for not liking this, we are out of it. The township is out of it. The court makes that decision.
Simply a discussion mode with this. I don't agree with this or disagree with this. I would love to have a tool to better clean up the property. It makes me a little uneasy that we would that something is deemed an eyesore and then we go clean it up, even though that seems like the best solution, but I don't want to get rid of some of these junk that they're, and then we bear the brunt of their anger and frustration because we threw out great grandma's whatever, even though they've had fair notice. I get that.
Well, it all starts with a resolution by the trustee, so on a case-by-case basis,
right,
you can decide what you feel comfortable with or what needs to be done.
Who else has used this in the township, in the county?
Chris says several of our, in fact, Elizabeth Township has used it. He says several. In fact, that resolution that he put forth is one that he actually used with them. And when he came, he's the one that suggested it to us when we took the tour of the properties. He's the one,
well,
the attorney for the county is the one who suggested this would be our only way to rectify the situation.
Well, we still have the other way that we've been using that's not super effective. I agree. And this has only been effective since 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's great that we can do something. I just worry at what point do you cross the line and infringe on somebody's right. That's my concern.
Well, again, they're infringing on the rights of their neighbors and everybody else in this township. I mean, I can't tell you how many complaints I take on the phone or by email or by the Ross Road. You've had them on Ross Road, so I know because you forwarded them to me. So, I mean, these are never-ending complaints about the same properties. If we can get them cleaned up, I mean, we can be selective about how we use them and on what properties we use them on. It doesn't have to be a where-all to end-all for every property. It can be just for the ones we don't seem to be able to get any cooperation from the owner out of, and there are six right now in this township that are that way.
I'm just bringing up my concerns as a point of discussion. I'm not saying good or bad. I just want to, that's just my concerns.
Okay. Well, it's up to you all what how you want to do it. My job is to put it on the table, and I've done that.
Well, I say we start by, if you can fill in the resolution
mm-hmm.
for next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and we can go from there.
Okay.
And see what needs to be done. Okay. Fire department items. So first is the surplus equipment. Josh, you were working on the list. I don't know if you've turned that over or...
No, not yet.
Okay, so... still in progress. Okay, addendum to add the Public Consulting Group LLC to help recover reimbursements for medic runs. So, Terry, I don't know if you want to say anything. I included the...
I can discuss that.
Okay.
Basically, what it boils down to is this is a program that the Public Consulting Group has done in over 30 states now. With that being said, there's about 550 departments that was involved there in those other 30 states, and they've generated a little over $1.3 billion in recovery for those departments. If you read the PowerPoint and looked at the slides, basically what it boils down to is they're going to work with the federal government side through the Ohio Department of Medicaid to try and get an additional 64.6% payback to us. With that being said, they're thinking right now, based off of the webinar that I sat in last week, we would have to upfront 35.4% of our, what they estimate we're going to get. We get that 35.4% back plus the 64.5%. So it would generate more revenue for us. And with that contract that you have that we would need to sign, that guarantees that the public consulting group would get 10% of that.
Of the 64%?
Huh?
Of the 64%.
10% of all of it, right?
Well, we'll know more. The information that we're basically putting in now is just to get the ball rolling with the Ohio Department of Medicaid. There is no upfront money that we have to do right now. The 10% that is noted on the contract there, that would be paid based off of what we get paid that quarter.
Okay.
We would still be in our contract with MediCount of the 7.825% that we pay monthly now. So nothing would change there
right.
on the MediCount side. The only difference is they're, like I said, they're thinking quarterly right now is when they would present this to the federal government to try and get money back to ODM to be able to pay out. They're also projecting that there would be $50 million revenue generated in the state of Ohio with all the departments that are going to participate. But right now, like I said, we're talking about it now because the way this ball rolls is we have to present to ODM however many departments want to participate. Then they have to take this to the state so that the state can put it in their budget. So we're not even looking at anything until maybe the second quarter of 2026 would be about the first payout. But there is a kind of process that's got to take place. That's why I had it put on the agenda tonight,
okay.
for the simple fact that if we do want to participate, the paperwork has to be to MediCount by the 30th, which is the day before the
okay.
trustees meeting. So that's why I asked to have it put on this agenda this evening.
So if this is, if the payments are based on the budget of the state, and if the state looks
not
at
really the budget of the state, the public consulting group quarterly will figure out how much additional money we can make. They send that to the state based off of the departments that are, based off of our department, the additional revenue that we could gain. We have to upfront, like I said, 35.4% of what we're gonna receive. So that 35.4% come back to us as well as they're thinking somewhere around 64.5% increased revenue based off of Medicare or Medicaid, CMS.
So how does public consulting group get paid?
Through that 10% that we're signing the contract on.
Okay.
And it's only paid on that quarterly basis based off of the 64.5% that we would receive back.
And how long is the contract for?
It'd be forever.
Forever?
Yeah. Because they'll work this quarterly through now. It's almost the same contract as signing with MediCount, where we, every so many years, we have that contract. So it would be we would have to re-sign the contract every so many years. Not forever, I mean. This is an optional program. You don't have to get in it. We could sit back until 2026 and say, see what the other departments are getting and then join in, or you can stay opted out forever. So it's kind of a, if you want in, here's the process that we got to start. And they want this information by the 30th.
But it's not.
The unfortunate part is I can't give you 100% numbers right now. PCG will work on that and get us those numbers, so that way we'll have an idea of what's going on. I do have some paperwork that I'm working with Rhonda to make sure that my numbers are a little more correct, because the first set of numbers I did was based off of 2022's payout.
So when you said forever with the contract, is it like
it's not really
or
a forever
five
contract.
Years or?
We, to remain in this program, we would have to keep renewing the contract.
But we do have the option to renew every year.
Correct.
Okay, that's good. I don't want to sign something that's forever.
Yeah, there's always the option to renew.
Gotcha, okay.
Because I'm sure at some point in time, they're going to say, well, you're receiving this much money, let's take you up to 12% or something to that effect.
Of course they will, yeah.
You know how that works.
Never if you're not receiving enough, we'll give you
right.
down to 8, but yes, okay.
And this is only off Medicaid revenue, right?
Only off Medicaid.
And do you know how many of those we do a year? How many of those carries we do a year?
I looked at the numbers earlier today. I don't remember. A lot of our runs are Medicare, Medicaid. I think it was like 48,000 and that we billed for, and we're only getting somewhere around 12,000.
Oh, wow.
Back. So.
But is that Medicare and Medicaid? Or
Medicaid
just
only
Medicaid
on that number.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
But a lot, probably the majority of our business comes from Medicare.
Okay. I mean, it's worth a shot.
I mean, you're bringing it to us because obviously you think it's worth the investment, right?
I think it would generate a fair amount of revenue for us.
Okay.
So that's why I wanted to present it, and then you know, that way we can plan for further things down the road.
So
equipment replacement and things like that.
Okay, so I did not write a resolution for this because I think we just need to sign the contract, right? Or do we need to do a resolution?
We're not paying anything at this point. We don't know what it is to pay.
What's that?
We're not paying anything at this point, correct?
No, there will be no payments for PCG until probably April 2026.
So,
yeah, I think you can just sign it.
Just sign it, and then
okay. So we have a copy to sign at the end of the meeting.
End of the meeting, sign it.
And with most of that being said, since Josh is still listed as the primary person, Josh would be the one signing that. So, and then until we get everything switched over with MediCount, Josh is still the interim chief and our primary person of contact on that.
Okay. If you think we need a resolution, we can write one for Tuesday.
Well,
to say we're doing this.
You got to have it done by the 30th of September, right?
Right.
Correct, yeah.
We can sign the contract tonight. I'm saying we can do a resolution for next Tuesday's meeting.
Kind of like a preemptive.
If
yes,
we need
gotcha.
To.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm with you.
Yeah. Maybe that would be the better way to handle it. You know, so then you're covered. If we would have to have one, we wouldn't have to go back and backdate anything.
Yeah. Beth, what do you think?
I don't think we need a resolution. If it's just a contract that we sign,
mm-hmm.
we're not
going to get any
payout.
Okay.
No, we're not paying anything.
All right, I will write one. Okay. Anything else you guys want to add? Okay. So we'll have it for you at the end of the meeting.
Thank you.
Bring it back.
For doing all that research.
Yeah. Thanks.
For getting all the information.
Okay. Next up, we have the purchase of a hose tester and drafting supplies, which I put in the package.
So over the last couple of years, we've bought some new hose that are already on the trucks. We also have spare hose. However, to keep our ISO rating where it is, we have to test that hose yearly. Usually what we were doing was just running it off the truck and testing it that way. However, the new hose that we have, our truck cannot pump that high. I think it's around 400 to 500 PSI. So we have to get a hose tester in order to test it, in order to be compliant with like FPA and our ISO rating and stuff like that. So we got two quotes, one from Atlantic, one from MES. my recommendation is Atlantic. It's the same product, it's just MES was charging a little bit more. That's for the hose tester. For the drafting supplies, we did a rural water movement training. I think you saw it.
Yep.
A couple weekends ago. It went really well. However, we found some deficiencies in our equipment. A couple of the hoses are old and outdated and got pinholes in them. You can't draft water if they got pinholes in them, unfortunately. Not only that, but we were going to get another intake or another low-level strainer. Basically, it keeps debris and stuff out of the pump because you don't want to have to replace a pump, that's for sure. And then, what else? Oh, a jet siphon, basically moving water from one tank to another. It helps keep the water process flowing at all times when we set up a rural water out. The idea was to purchase this stuff with ARPA money. I know we have quite a bit of money in that account right now. Yes, it is somewhat expensive, but in the grand scheme of things, we have to have this stuff or else we're going to be deficient in emergency services. And to me, that's not good. So that's the plan, if that's okay.
So that was my question, was can we use ARPA funds? And you answered it.
No, sorry.
So no, that's fine.
That's good.
That's good.
What else? Do you have any questions about the equipment? The low-level strainer, if you guys want to, we have another one over there. I can show you how it works and stuff like that if you want to know and stuff like that. But whatever questions you have, feel free to shoot them over.
Okay. We do not need a resolution for these, correct?
Well, I think you need a resolution that says you're going to use the ARPA funds.
Yeah.
You need something that proves, that shows that that's what we spend it on, just for your documentation.
Okay. So I'll have a resolution. I'm just going to put it on one, if that's okay.
Yes.
Do I need to have two?
Looks like two different things.
All right, I'll do
two. They're both going to Atlantic. Just put it all in one.
Yeah, they're both the same.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay, I see.
Because he chose Atlantic, not Indiana.
Not the other one.
Okay. And we'll have a resolution then on those. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is the road department item. So the paving did come in $9,717.90 under budget.
Yay.
Which is nice. I put those in the back as well. However, we do have to pay the county for doing some grinding prep work before paving. $5,100, so we still net a little bit of money there.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be a resolution to pay the Miami County engineering bill.
And we just need to sign the change order tonight?
Yes, and okay. we have that with us as well.
Okay.
Any other comments on those?
Nope.
Okay.
Except for everybody's happy with the road.
Yeah.
Lots of people have thanked us for the road.
Well, it was in pretty bad shape.
Pretty bad shape.
Yeah. Okay. Surplus equipment sales. The old mowers, you said you're still looking into?
Well,
or?
Yeah. We're still looking into trying to figure out what the value is of the mowers. I did call the guy down here on 202, and of course, there's not an age. They don't have hours on them, and it's a little bit difficult to get prices on used stuff that Robert seems to think it's around 20 years old, but not for sure. We're looking for some information.
They bought them in summer 2005 or 2006.
Okay. All right.
We can find the resolution.
We can find the resolution
that
on them, and so we're trying to figure that out. But again, not going to be worth much money, so I guess we can put them out there on the auction block. And West Charleston Road and Agenbrod Road, we're still waiting on Agenbrod, we're still waiting on their kind of backlog, Durst's backlog. So as soon as they finish up here, they're hoping to get started on that. And I've asked him to look at West Charleston Road again. And he was supposed to go out there a couple of weeks ago, but again, I think one of them had a baby or something that works with them, and they never made it out, so I didn't get anything back on it yet. But I did talk to them about the culvert dump that you wanted to put on the opposite side of the road. He says that can be done, and can be done pretty inexpensively. So that's what we're working on. The speed bump.
So wait, can I just ask a question?
Go ahead.
So on the Agenbrod Road, I thought we were done with that.
We haven't finished it. We haven't done Agenbrod yet.
Okay.
We haven't been
that's
to Agenbrod.
That's the corner?
That's the the erosion part with the corner, we did, we've done Gibson at Julia.
Right.
And we've done Wildcat, or I'm sorry, Singer.
Right.
Singer back there, but we have not done, we have not done Agapod yet.
Okay.
So. And then the speed bump request for Eastland, we just found a card that we can send out to the residents to get their opinion of whether or not they want a speed bump, and I think that's what we're leaning towards doing. And the cemetery sign.
Well, let's talk about Eastland for a second, because Marty did send us an email with some information.
Yeah.
So just so everybody knows, the speed limit is 25
right.
on those roads, Eastland and Westland. And they're allowed to have a speed limit sign, but there's only one sign, I think it's on Westland, he said.
Yeah.
So we could ask for speed limit signs. He said that the county does not recommend putting in speed bumps because of the maintenance and then the problem with plowing.
Yeah, and I did talk to Robert about that, and he's not real keen on them either. He says they have a lot of problem on Shorier now with those bumps, and it's they have to be so cautious with their equipment about them. But I guess if the people, if that's what they're suggesting, to stop them from speeding through there. But it's my understanding too, it's only one area of Eastland and Westland that they're flying down, and that can be attributed to one particular house in that area, is what I'm being told, which may or may not be the case. I don't know.
Right. So do we want to send a postcard and ask the residents, or do we want to start with speed limit signs, or what do we want to do?
I'm okay with sending the postcard. I'm okay with just putting up another speed limit sign. I'm also okay with asking the sheriff to do some due diligence down there. You know, maybe if there's a show of that he's going to be there watching, maybe they'll slow down a little bit and then get used to slowing down, and they will. But or maybe post a sign in the area where the culprits seem to be, according to the neighbors anyway, that's most of which are doing the complaining. So, I mean, I don't know. It's what you want to do, what everybody wants to do collectively, I guess.
So what Marty had suggested when he did the research was to find out the times that, or, you know, is it the same time every day that the speeding is occurring?
Well, that
and
would
send
mean,
the sheriff at that time.
Yeah, we would have to sit there and clock them.
Well, I wonder if we could, can we put that on the, can we ask the residents? They should know, right? Whoever's complaining should
yeah.
know.
Yeah. I can make that phone call to a couple. I don't mind doing that.
Okay, so you want to check into getting a speed limit sign then for
yeah.
Eastland?
Mm-hmm. I'll call the ODOT garage and see if there's one I can buy or something.
Okay. Sorry, cemetery signs.
Oh, I did manage to get a new cemetery sign for the one in West Charleston there for free. So we didn't have to pay for that. And it was replaced, and the new one had the one arrow going one way, the wrong way, but supposedly they came back out and changed it. The ODOT guys were really, really nice about it. So that's gone up. As far as the rest of the signs on the rest of the cemeteries, a couple of them are for actually the building, the one church building there on 202 right there in Fountain, that's kind of, it really could use some sprucing up or repainting or whatever, but that doesn't belong to us. It belongs to that church that's there or whatever. And the other ones look fine to me. So the one in West Charleston there, that one was faded on one side, and they did replace that for free for us.
So the ones in Fountain, so the Historical Society has done some work on those in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie, please correct me if I blow this. And there's a stencil, because the one side is just completely white
yeah.
right now. The,
mm-hmm.
Everything's gone. The other side is still in pretty good shape. So we could, in theory, get that stencil and repaint the one side. The sign across the street is definitely faded and starting
mm-hmm.
to wear off, so maybe the Historical Society can.
So is that something you can kind of send me an email on how I can get that stencil maybe?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Kayla? I just couldn't hear you.
Is there something, can you send me an email on how maybe I can borrow that stencil?
Oh, yes,
and
yes,
try
thank
to get
you.
That, yeah, you know, so I can maybe work on handiwork with some green paint. I mean, is it?
It's for the,
it's
the
just
side
for
that has
the
black letters.
The black letters?
Yeah.
There's okay. not one for the other side,
there,
right?
There isn't, but... But he has the name of the company,
mm-hmm.
or however he got the stencils last time.
Okay.
I don't know that whole piece of the story, but we can find out.
Okay. Right. I don't think that would be a Robert and Eric job. I don't think they're detailed enough to do that.
Well,
it might
just be a Saturday.
It might be
something
you stick up there.
Yeah, it could be just something, maybe something like a...
Yeah.
A vinyl adhesive type one that can be stuck on? Okay.
Okay. Fiscal officer items.
Okay. Resolution number 24-09-087, a resolution accepting the 2025 official certificate of estimated resources, along with the tax year 2025 rates and amounts certification. From Miami County Budget Commission.
So we need a motion.
Good motion, then.
Oh, wait, do we have the certificate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did
she
I not
sent it,
send it to
she
you?
She sent
you
an email.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's not attached to this.
No, it's more than just the certificate and
right.
the
it's like
rates. I have a copy if you want it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll see it. I only brought one. I posted them on the website as an attachment, and I posted the presentation for the billing on the website as well, if anybody wants to see that.
And it's all completely from the auditor,
mm-hmm.
from the auditor's office.
Yeah. Doesn't look unreasonable compared to this year's.
Okay.
I'm okay with it. I will second it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll wait in case she has discussion.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vote, please.
Let me write this down so I don't mess it up. Mm-hmm. Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Reese?
Yes.
Trustee Van Haren?
Yes.
I don't have any other updates.
Okay. We'll have that to sign at the end as well. Okay, the trustee item, the township administrator / zoning director applications have been received. Friday was the last day for that. So the next step is to review them and conduct interviews. No comments on that?
When do you want to do that?
Well, I brought the packages to hand out tonight.
Okay.
So we can discuss next week or the week after, I guess. We do have to call a special meeting for that, so we have to pick a day. And I have to do all the notices.
So if we review them between now and next meeting, then we could do an executive session after that meeting and discuss the applications and then schedule a meeting for the interviews within a few days, right? No?
Well, yeah, I figured we'd probably not want to do it next week since we already have a meeting.
Yeah, I can't next
maybe
week.
The following week.
Yeah.
If you want to pick a day, we can...
Towards the end of the month?
Beginning of October. No, well, it only has to be like a 48, really 24 hours, but and I have to send a email to those requesting, those who have requested notification. How about like Wednesday the 9th?
What, starting at what time?
Well, we have at least five, maybe six. depending on what we decide on that, so.
I'm not available until 4 that day, but I could do it after 4.
Okay. We're going to do the same thing, like a half hour interview with a little time in between. That would be enough time to do all of them if they can make it that night.
On the 9th?
The 9th.
Yeah.
Is that good for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll tentatively say October 9th.
Yeah, and actually, I can't come to 5 that day.
What about the 8th? Can you do the 8th?
No, there's other meetings that night.
Okay.
So 5. We could still do them all that night. Talking about 3.5 hours, 4 max.
Well, we don't have to do them all that night. We can do them that Wednesday and then.
What about Monday? Can we do Monday? What's everybody's schedule for Monday?
The
7th.
I'm out of town.
You're out of town. Okay. Okay, so do you want to try then to do the 9th for all of them, 15 minutes apiece at that point?
Oh, no, half hour.
Half hour?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get there till 5, and you have 5 applicants?
That's what I'm saying, 3.5 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We can go till 9.
Okay. All right, so.
See if they can make, I'll make it that day as well. If
okay.
not, we can do another day. Do we want to have another day just in case? Like the 10th? We don't want too much time between them.
Mm-hmm. See. They're probably all employed anyway, so they would probably have to come after.
Yeah.
Your job.
Is the 10th okay, or?
Yeah, 9th and
10th. As a backup?
I'm 9th and 10th, but I have to be, I can't come till 5.
Okay, that's okay. 5 p.m. start. Okay, I'll contact the applicants and.
So we're starting at 5 on the 9th, correct?
Well, I will contact the applicants and make sure that we can do it that night. And if so, I'll do the notices and all that. Okay. Why is this in yellow? Okay, old business. Budget we haven't started, although we now have numbers to use for it. Board retreat is still on hold until we get a new person. Walnut Street dead end. I have not done any further research. Okay, social is just a placeholder. Zoning, the boat storage facility, we had waiting on legal.
Yep, and that's
so
what
now
we just
we're
got.
Do one of those. Okay. And hooking up the GIS computer to the network and updating GIS.
We actually called down to the county last week, and the guy that was supposed to be in charge of getting us the hookup information was on vacation, and I haven't talked to Marty yet this week, the start of this week. So I'll send an email and ask if he can get him scheduled for this week, but that person was gone for
okay.
vacation, so.
Okay, for the fire department, we got another invoice on the boots. Can I just ignore that, or?
It was taken care of. I already worked it out with Rhonda.
Yeah, he went back and looked and made sure that it had not been paid and that it needed to be paid because they came back and said it needed to be paid, so we paid it.
We should not be paying that. This was.
We ordered 30 boots. The first invoice was for 27. Second, I never saw the invoices when they came in, so I didn't know what the numbers were when they got the bills. So they billed us for 27, billed us for 1, and the other 2 was the bill that they kept sending to us for a total of 30 boots.
So they sent them, I thought the part of the bill was for stuff that we returned.
We exchanged for different sizes. Well, we got 30 boots. We paid for 30 boots.
Okay.
The first invoice was for 27. Second invoice was for 1. Third invoice was for 2. 30 boots.
Okay, and that was from ARPA funds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm taking that off the list. Okay, waiting on the budget for the potential increase in pay. Road department.
Wait a minute.
I have it.
What budget? What budget are we waiting on?
Oh my God.
We want to do a 5-year plan with a budget on how this will, how anything will be affected by upping the pay. We asked for that budget a long time ago. You haven't done it.
You did the budget.
No, what we did was just use the numbers of actuals that had been.
But incurred. I don't know what the tax revenue is going to be outside next year because the county auditor didn't give it to us.
Outside of what we have next year's, though.
Yeah, and it's pretty much right on point with this year's. And since you guys are against anyone building a house, that revenue is going to stay the same.
What are you talking about?
Nobody's going to build a house to increase personnel and taxes.
People are building houses. I don't know where that came from.
I don't
from,
know where that came from. I just approved 3 new starts, so you're...
But if my revenue is the exact same from the county auditor every year, the only thing I could assume is you're wanting to cut our budget and by reducing our millage on our levy, which is up in 26.
I don't know where that came from either. That is not
anything
that has ever been discussed.
This is me talking.
Well, okay,
if
we
you
need...
see the numbers.
Oh my God.
Are the same every year. And if I put it on a piece of paper and say it's going to be the same every year for 5 years, what's the difference between me putting it on there for 5 years versus...
Well, it's not the same every year, so...
What's the deviation? How much?
I don't know. If we build new houses, if the housing values get reevaluated.
But revenue stays the same because the only way I can increase my
revenue
off
the
millage
is if
I do a replacement of new property value.
So I want to see a budget that's going to show how the salary increase will impact the possibility of buying future equipment, because we only have so much money. I'm not planning on reducing anything. I don't know where that came from, but I want to see how it's going to impact future purchases, because we also have to have money to buy equipment and hoses and all the other things that we do, and we have to have money to do repairs on equipment. So I just want to see that laid out to show us how it's going to impact it.
So we did a 5-year plan in 2022, and Josh, I know you worked with Andy on that, and in it are the projections for when we think we need a new medic or a new engine or whatever, and also an approximation, again, of what the big ticket items for the repairs are. But you have that. Julie, you have that, and I have that, and maybe Cameron, you should have a copy of it. I'm sure Julie can get you one. But are you asking him, I mean, you keep saying this budget, are you asking him to revise that, or what are you asking for?
Well, yeah, that 5-year budget, or that 5-year plan, a lot of that equipment has been purchased already.
Absolutely,
so,
which is great, then we don't have to buy it.
Agreed, but that's what I'm saying is now we need to lay out how it is now and how it's going to be for the next 5 years.
We're 2 years into it, so I don't know if you need a completely new 5-year plan. You probably just need to update that one, what's been spent, where and where the dollar amounts are.
Well, I mean, I'm only 10 months in here, so I'm a little bit on the novice side, but okay, since I've been here, last month, we had a $12,000 expenditure that Rhonda, from the fire department, that Rhonda had to caution us all about letting her know before we make these expenditures, repairs to a vehicle for the fire department. We bought new hose, $40,000 for the fire department. Mr. Cahill just said that we need to buy some additional things that are gonna total about, what, $6,000 to $8,000, $5,000, whatever in the long run. I think what, and I don't want to speak for anybody on here, but I can see my little red flag going up the pole here. If we only have so much money, and all these things keep popping up that are big items, I mean, big items, you know, and then we commit to giving raises right off the bat here, and I'm not against giving you a raise. I think that we need, and Julie's not either, but we just need to feel that we're not going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, with putting money towards repairs and new items and new materials, and then we're giving a $1.50 raise to the employees. So, on top of that, that's committed, and you know, for the duration of their employment here. And if we give them a $1.50 raise this year, what are we going to do for next year? Because most people like to get a raise every year. Most people do. And I can see that, and I understand that, and I'm not opposed to giving the guys a raise. I've never been opposed to giving them a raise. I just would like to know, along with Julie, and I think Beth is on the same page in some degree as well, that we have the money to do this with, that we're not going to be getting it or pulling it from other areas to give. That's all I'd like to see.
Well,
and
I sat down with
Rhonda. I went through the numbers. We had enough money when I sat down with Rhonda to fund the raise that you were talking about for roughly 15 months. Correct? What happens after the 15 months? Where's that additional money going to come from? And that's what I think is the issue.
So hang on just a second. We have two levies. We have 7.9.
3.9 and a 1.5.
Right, but we have two levies that are dedicated to fire and EMS. My understanding of 7.9 mill levy is that we have always used it for wages, and that we currently have in excess since we replaced it in 2017, it's generated an overage of about $80,000 to $100,000 per year. Again, I'm going on my memory, so you step in anytime. That overage we've saved for some big ticket items, but also to increase wages over time. We knew when we passed the 7.9 that realistically it should have been about 8.5, because we knew costs were going to go up, et cetera, et cetera. We will eventually have to replace that if we wish to remain competitive, which we do, I think we do, with our firefighter and EMS wages. However, currently, as I'm understanding it, and again, step in anytime, Rhonda, because I'm going for memory and I don't have the numbers here, but it generates in excess of about $80,000 to $100,000 every year. The first raise that Josh was asking for was going to take $40,000 of that. That was $1 an hour up until June. Right? Is that about
$1.50?
$1.50. I thought the first raise was a dollar.
I wanted $1.50.
Okay, so $1.50. And
then
how
I
much?
Went and got a grant to pay for the other 45 cents.
Okay.
Okay.
So
for a year.
For a year.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
So that was going to take it $40,000 ish of it, right? So what I'm saying is that I'm not sure where the disconnect is, but we do have that money. It will take it, there is surplus in that fund already from prior years, but also it generates in excess of what our current wages are. Correct?
I believe you're right.
Okay. So I think the frustration is coming because the money is there, and you guys keep saying budget, budget, budget. We do have the inside millage fire inside, yeah, it is. No, it's not. We do have the permanent levy for fire.
That's the 1.5.
That's the 1.5.
That pays for operations. That's where
and
all
that
my maintenance
pays, right.
And gear, equipment, training, everything comes out of that. The only thing we pay out of the big mill is salary.
Right, exactly.
And
big ticket items.
Big ticket items.
Yeah, that we put back if whatever we don't spend is basically set aside for
right.
capital improvement.
Right, so that's what I'm asking for is what is the impact of raising the salaries to getting the big ticket items? You're talking about getting a fire engine, so I get there's 80 to 100 every year excess. So when we do these raises, what is that going to do? Is that going to push the fire engine out 8 years, 10 years? What's the impact?
Well,
I don't know.
Even if I was to order it today, I'm looking at 3 years before I get delivery. So that's already pushed out the engine. We probably won't even be working on it till next year, so be 28 before we would
ever get
delivery.
Okay, but my question is, what's the impact of the raise to that fire engine purchase? And
if there's no money to pay for the fire truck,
they won't be getting it.
We're not buying a fire truck.
Yeah, so then what do? That's my point, is we have a budget that has to cover everything.
Do you increase your millage on a levy to help pay for that? You have to ask the citizens, hey, the fire department needs to buy a fire truck. We need this money. And if the citizens say no, then we deal with what we have.
On the levy, when I sat down with Rhonda and went over the numbers in the budget for salaries with the levy that you're speaking of, we had one year, six months thereabouts, of money, revenue, to cover the cost of that raise. So if you're talking about giving a $1.50 raise, and I think it was 35 cents that the grant that you got,
45.
Paid 45 cents for 1 year, and you can't take that back after you've already given it, so we've already committed to that now that we've given it to them, okay? So we've given them 45 cents, whether it's through the grant that you've got this year, perpetually. So at this point, now we're looking at an additional dollar thereabouts or $1.05 per hour, and we would only still have funding for that for about 12 to 14, 15 months.
Were we looking at the whole amount, or were we looking at what had been appropriated? And because there's a difference between what's appropriated and what's the whole amount.
So all of this discussion is great, but this is my point. Why can't we get it down on a paper that everybody can look at and say, oh, here's the amounts that we have, here's what they need to be spent on, here's what this impact's gonna be. And by the way, we made that $2 ARPA raise permanent this year out of the same fund.
Right.
So that's another $2 that we have not talked about.
You brought us in comparison to McDonald's. I appreciate that.
Oh my God, not talking about Josh. I would love to pay everybody more too, but we have only so much money.
Guys, we've been doing the budget and the appropriations. We've looked at those numbers several times. The numbers are there. The funds are there. It may have not been appropriated. And I don't know what your conversation was, because appropriations are different than what we actually have in the fund.
Yes.
So that would have to be addressed. But again, my recollection is that fund has a surplus of about 80 to 100 every year, and that would accommodate it.
And we can sit down and go over that, correct?
If I may, to my knowledge, I don't think we've ever really taken out a loan to pay for an apparatus. We just paid it cash.
Right.
Well, you've taken a loan from the general fund.
From the general fund. Right.
Because we found that 70, yes, which they paid back. Yes.
Which we paid back, right?
Right.
So this one might actually, like if we were to get a fire engine now, again, 3 years from now, it probably would have to be on a loan. And
okay.
Because finding a fire engine right now is anywhere between 800 and a million.
Right.
And that's lowballing.
Right.
You know, that's get your basic shell and four wheels and a motor and a pump on it. You know, so I'm in comparison to, because my concern right now is retention and bringing people in, because we're not competitive with the people around us right now. Elizabeth Township's, their paramedics are making 22, ours are making 17. You know, I had some friends. I reached out to some friends that worked in the area. You know, literally Chick-fil-A is making more than us. Truly, I'm not trying to be rude by any means, but I have all that right here. Kroger, Walmart, they're all making more than us.
Well, I get it. I mean, I get it, and that's why I sat down, I took the time and sat down and went with the budget, went through it with Rhonda to see if it was there, and I was willing to gamble on taking that 16-month or 12, 15-month, whatever it was, and then hoping that in the next 12 months after that, before the levy was passed, we would be able to keep on that same target for another increase in the second year, okay? Mm-hmm. Because people don't, I mean, you can't ask a person to stay in the same position and not get an increase. You can't, and we get that. I know we all get that. But I think, too, you know, I'm looking at, okay, I'm going to give you $1.50 raise now. You just got a $2 raise as well. And again, Josh was gracious enough to get the 45-cent raise for you guys as well. So now, this year alone, if we give you another $1.50 raise with the, and again, we made that $2 permanent, so that's not something we're going to be able to take back from you.
Right.
You've got $1.45 that we can't take back from you. And now you're asking for $1.50 more, which if we give it, we can't take it back.
Right.
So I just want to be sure, and I
that
did the numbers,
that
we can afford it. And I sat down with her and I went through the numbers and I could see where it was plausible to consider doing, okay? But then that was before I saw $12,000 go out in truck repairs here. I just,
but that $12,000 is going from a different levy.
And out of a $50,000 appropriated budget for maintenance and repairs.
But again, I'm going to be the nasty person here and say that ultimately it all has a bottom line, okay? It all has a bottom line. And those dollars have to come from various places. If you don't have enough here, and it looked like from when I sat down with Rhonda, if we gave that raise, we would be asking for additional money 16 months out after we've given it.
Then obviously you looked at the appropriations, because that budget, that levy has carryover in it of at least $400,000, Rhonda, $500,000? I mean, it has a substantial carryover.
Right.
So I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm guessing you were looking at the appropriations, and completely different.
We were carrying over $28,000 from this year into next year, which would have paid for the 6 months into next year, if we had given the raise
that's
back when
it was
put on.
That's just on the salaries.
That's on the salaries, correct.
Because we wasn't paying Josh and a fire chief at the same time,
mm-hmm.
So that saves some money.
Right. So that's what I was looking at, and I was okay with it at that point. My problem is not giving you the raise now. It's what happens in 16 months from now. Okay. The money's there now. What happens in 16 months from now?
What do you mean? What happens in 16 months?
The numbers that I looked at with Rhonda shows that we would be in a deficit in that wage
in 16 months. So for next year, we need to appropriate more for the
right appropriation right here. The budget, the money that we get in via the levy right here. We never ever appropriate
the whole amount.
Mm-hmm. But you can appropriate, that's just a standard practice. You can appropriate 99% of it. But those are two very different things.
So the fact still stands, though, that it's going to impact something down the line.
Obviously.
Okay, well,
yes.
Not just saying the money's there, that doesn't show me the impact down the line. And how are we going to pay for equipment in the future? What if some other piece of equipment, something happens to it? I mean,
well, if we don't have any firefighters because nobody wants to work for us, we may not have to worry about equipment.
I don't disagree with that.
Everything impacts it. It's all balance.
So do you have other salaries for other firefighter?
Yep. I got, well, I'll just go over them with you.
Give me three.
There's three. There's four for you. So I kind of stretched out a little bit. I got, because I work full-time with the City of Marine.
Okay.
If you look under firefighter, paramedic, EMT, where it says 21 full-time, directly under that where it says firefighter level one. That's what they start out, a fire one EMT. Now, most of our staff is either a fire two paramedic or fire two EMT, which would start basically everybody at level three.
Okay.
For Moraine. That's just for the city of Moraine. If you flip the page, that's Kroger, just kind of comparing it to other places.
Not Kroger.
Okay.
That doesn't.
New Carlisle.
I have a question for you on these. So firefighter level three, is that like with step A, step B, step B, how many years is that?
So that's literally first year you start out at what most people would start out at 1895.
Okay.
Once you hit step F, it's because you've been there for 5 years.
Okay,
so you get a yearly increase.
Oh, the yearly increase.
Yep.
Okay.
If you go to the Facebook page.
And these are all full-time?
No, that's
no.
Part-time.
These are part-time.
Those are part-time numbers.
The 1, 2, 3, and 4 there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, those are all part-time. It's based on CERT and CERTs and what you have. And then the A through F is time. If you go to the Facebook, I just reached out to Chief Trustee of New Carlisle. They're making roughly a dollar more than us, except on the weekends they make $2 more an hour. Again, it's just Tip City is the next page. They start out firefighter EMTs at $16.50. It's $1.50 more than us. They're topping out more than us, and if like we have some officers here, they start out at 25. So.
And these are part time or full time?
This is part time.
Okay.
And then the last couple pages are Canes and Walmart, which are not relevant. But Canes, we'll just put it out there. The Canes starting employee makes $15 an hour, which is exactly what our EMTs make, which. I'm not comparing apples to oranges because that's what it is, but an EMT may have a little bit more weight in the world than the guy flipping your chicken.
I'm not saying that you don't deserve the pay. Nobody's saying that, and nobody's comparing what you do to a Canes or a Kroger's. That's not the issue here. And like I said, I was all in favor of it the last meeting, the last point of discussion when it was brought up. I had the reason I went to Rhonda and decided about this was because I wanted to look at a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think personally, I think that it is that you $1.50 is not.
Yeah.
It's not deserving. Okay, for what you do, it's not deserving.
Sure.
It's not uncommon
enough
for the field that you're in either locally here.
Right.
It isn't. I get that. I get that. And she convinced me that we could do it, and I'm okay. But, you know, again, I asked Josh for the budget when I was sworn in 2 weeks after I met with him and Mike. I asked for that budget. Never did see it.
Okay. Well, I will work with you and try to figure something out.
Okay.
Okay.
We will work together.
Yeah.
Thanks for this.
Yeah, no
problem.
Okay, now road department.
Oh, God, I don't know what I'm lost my train of thought here. What did I have to do? Where are we at?
There's just four items. A tree removal on Singer Road.
We've talked about that 2-3 times now, and the last I remember, I went back through my notes when I saw this, and the last time I remember, we were in contact with the arborist over there. They had hired an arborist that told us what we had to do, and there was a specific way that we had to do it, and they had a $14,000 bill that we were supposed to pay for cutting those trees back.
No.
That's what my notes say.
No,
that was back 3 months ago.
We passed a resolution using the same tree cutting company that they recommended, and you were going to call Eric Sauer and let him know, or call the tree company.
I did call him.
Oh, okay.
I did call him, and he didn't respond to my call. I have left a message for him back 3 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and there's been no response from him. That's why I looked at that. And I thought, well, it's in their court at this point because...
It's not. We passed the resolution.
We said we'd pay for it. We didn't say we would go out and hire that particular individual, correct?
correct? Is, if I'm not mistaken, that's what we said. We would pay the bill.
I thought it said for the specific company or not to exceed. I don't remember.
Okay, well, we need to look that up because I don't have that resolution, but I look back in my notes.
Well, they had suggested some compromise.
Yes.
And that's what we went with.
Yeah.
They would only do so much cutting and...
Right. They said...
But they had to have their own guy do it,
right,
is what I recall.
And it was not exceeding, I think it was $14,000?
$10,500
something, somewhere mm-hmm. around there. But again, they were supposed to get back with us on who it was going to... Didn't they list a company?
I thought that you were calling Eric Sauer at Five Rivers Metro Park and telling him...
I did call him after that meeting, okay? And he didn't call us back, or call me back on that.
Mm-hmm.
I also left an email address through the township, and he didn't respond to that either.
Hmm.
So...
I haven't talked to him in months, since probably March, so I don't know. I can call him. Do you want me to call him, or do you want to call him again?
I can call him again, it doesn't matter.
Okay, go ahead. You're going to call him?
Call him again tomorrow.
Okay, Friendship Park digital mapping still on hold. Playground equipment for Friendship Park.
We're done with that, and it looks beautiful. A couple of, thank goodness that we've done it, because the other one was pretty bad off. One of the residents that lives right there along the alleyway by the park actually came out when we were finishing up and thanked us for doing it. It does look better. It's very nice. I'd like to get some more of the old tires that they chew up and put in there. Ours, we didn't replace that. It's not been replaced since that's been put in. The original park was put in. And it really does need to be replaced, but that wasn't part of the deal. So I thought we could utilize what we have, and it is still there. We did move it more towards the center of where the actual jungle gym and all that is, to get a 6-inch cushion base there. But really the recommendation is for 8 to 10 inches, and we're at 6 around the perimeter there of the jungle gym and so forth, but we're only at about 4 spreading out to the edge. So I'd like to see that eventually. It's not something that has to be done immediately. Can probably wait till next year.
If we do it this year, we could spend ARPA funds on it.
Yeah, I guess we could if we did it this year, but I'm not. I mean, we're under budget on it anyway, but everything for it came in under budget. So I'd like to see that, but it's up to everybody else if they want to go along with it. And I haven't called for any prices on it. I know that it is pretty expensive to get that rubber stuff. But I think it would be a good thing for all the little kids that are going to play there. And there have been several little kids now playing there, which a lot of people said, you know, hey, it's not a park that's used that often, but I've driven past it several times, and I'm surprised at the number of little kids that are now playing there. Maybe it's because it's new, I don't know, but it could be because it's new. But I think that it was a wise investment for the township.
Looks very nice.
It looks very nice. What else?
Okay, the next thing was the drainage repairs at Pisgah and Eggenbrod. So
we're waiting on Durst for that. He's
you already did that one.
Yeah.
Okay, trustee items, there's really no updates, I think, to any of this. So, other discussion topics, unless you guys have anything on any of those items. So, the Tip City Chamber of Commerce, this is a last minute item, sent us this, and we had taken out this ad before.
Wow, we need that.
Apparently you do it every year, and in this book. So the question is, do we want to continue it?
How much is it?
So the guy said normally that size ad is like $5.95, and he would give us $100 off.
Mm.
And I was not comfortable when I spoke to him to say, yeah, we'll do it again.
I didn't even know we did it, so I don't really see the benefit of it, but if you want to support the chamber.
It's up to you guys.
Did he say how long we'd been in it? Do you know?
He didn't. He did not say that.
We can figure that out. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should figure that out to see if. Sometimes you know they'll tell you that we've been in it for a year, forever, and it's only been this is the first year.
I got a email today about from another lady from there, and she was wanting to know about how many years we had been at this current address. Because they want to do some kind of anniversary. They want to include us in an anniversary, make sure they have the right...
That's nice.
Yeah, the right years, I guess.
How long have we been at this address or been
she
a township?
She said at this specific address.
Oh, that's not
it's
the year
been,
I gave
yeah,
you.
I know. So I'm not sure where to find that or if
Historical
you
Society.
Know what it is, Beth.
How long...
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. You probably know. I don't know when this. You're talking about this like particular building.
Well, this was the original building, and then that one was built, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this would probably be.
We should
the
ask
oldest.
Jerry. He'd know.
I don't
know.
Okay. I mean, I can give her both years. I can say it's been a township since. 1807. At this specific address, it's been this many years, or since this year.
I'll text Jerry.
Okay. Thank you.
So this magazine is from
2020? 2021?
So, well, it says coming in 2021.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So this one was from 20 then. So we've been 4 years in it then, right?
I don't know. Just saying. Okay.
I don't see the harm in being in it. I mean, it, you know, it's a $500 ad in the scope of things. It's positive. You know.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm okay with it. I think it would be a nicer ad.
A little bit.
Than just the wording.
Yeah.
But maybe a picture of the firehouse or something would be, which you could probably do. Okay, so executive session is next. however, we need our attorney. Oh, he's done with his meeting.
Okay.
So.
Good.
We will go into executive session with this. We need a motion to enter executive session, which is necessary to protect the possible investment or expenditure of public funds to be made in connection with the economic development project for the purpose to consult with an attorney regarding negotiations with other political subdivisions respecting requests for economic development assistance and for the purpose to consider the appointment or compensation of a public employee or official. You need a motion?
Motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Okay, call the vote, please.
Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Van Haren?
Yes.
Trustee Reese?
Yes. So time into executive session will be 8:18. We're not expecting any kind of vote or action after the executive session. Thank you all for coming.